Thank you for listening to Enabled This Week. Have you heard of the AFB, the American Foundation for the Blind? From their website, the mission of the American Foundation for the Blind is to create a world of no limits for people who are blind or visually impaired. Well, today you'll be hearing articles from a newsletter published quarterly by the AFB. It's called Focus on the AFB, and the word focus is all in capital letters. As their website says, it's dedicated to promoting awareness of the latest research, resources, and news in the blindness field. Focus on AFB, Summer of 2020. There will be four different sections of the broadcast. The first one is celebrating the 2020 Helen Keller Achievement Award winners. The second section of the program will be AFB welcomes a new director of research, Dr. L. Penny Rosenblum. The third section will be AFB prepares to launch Helen Keller Archive Lesson Plans. And the section four, it would be interviews using the question, what does the world look like to you? So back to that first section, celebrating the 2020 Helen Keller Achievement Award winners. Until we can honor them formally at our 2021 gala, we recognize their accomplishments here. The 2020 Helen Keller Achievement Award winners are all creating a world of no limits for people who are blind or visually impaired. There are three winners that are mentioned here. The first one, the American Printing House for the Blind, APH, recipient of the Award for Accessibility and Inclusion, is the world's largest nonprofit organization devoting to creating accessible learning experiences for people of all ages who are blind or visually impaired. The APH is constantly innovating new products. Just one example is Code Jumper, a joint venture with Microsoft that teaches students computer coding in a fun, accessible way. Code Jumper takes block coding off the screen and makes it a tactile experience. Here's a quote. It's designed for all children, not just those who are visually impaired, says Ann Durham, Vice President and Chief Officer for Innovation and Strategy at the APH, the American Printing House for the Blind. She continues by saying, when accessibility is an afterthought, products can be clunky, but when you design inclusively, you design for everybody. Durham says she has seen children who are blind using Code Jumper, and their sighted peers are eager to join in, creating a shared experience. For children who are blind in particular, it not only builds skills that can lead to future employability, but it also builds confidence. She adds that there is a full curriculum that goes with Code Jumper for use by teachers. The next winner for the Helen Keller Achievement Award is Procter & Gamble, P&G. This is the winner of the Award for Diversity and Inclusion, and it's known worldwide for its portfolio of brands, such as Herbal Essence, Bounty, Gillette, and many, many more. Sam Lateef, who is the company accessibility leader, who is blind herself, is helping the company's leadership and employees understand how people with disabilities interact with P&G's products, Procter & Gamble. For example, the company introduced tactile markings, namely stripes for shampoo and circles for conditioner. These are found on its Herbal Essence shampoo and conditioner bottles, so visually impaired people can tell the difference by touch. Lateef also oversees ensuring all company workspaces are fully accessible, and she also oversees creating advertising accessible to people who are blind or deaf. What's more, the company is sharing its tactile markings for shampoo and conditioner, the design principles for those, with the industry. Here's a quote, everyone uses the word shampoo and conditioner on their bottles to help people distinguish between the bottles, Lateef says. Similarly, it would be amazing if everyone could also use tactile stripes and circles to help people with low or no vision distinguish between the two. The third winner of the Helen Keller Achievement Award is Chieko Asakawa, a PhD, and she was selected for the Personal Achievement Award for her more than 30 years of work on behalf of people who are blind, like she is. This includes developing digital braille in the 1980s, screen reading software via the IBM Homepage Reader in the 1990s, and technologies that allow people who are visually impaired to independently navigate public spaces like shopping malls, airports, using artificial intelligence and robotics. Dr. Asakawa, that's Chieko Asakawa, she is an IBM fellow on assignment with Carnegie Mellon University to learn how accessibility technologies are central to creating opportunities for people with disabilities. Having helped develop NAVCOG, that's N-A-V capital C-O-G, NAVCOG, which aids people who are visually impaired in navigating indoor spaces using beacons that send signals to an app, well, now she is working on building sensors into a suitcase so the suitcase can act as a guide, helping people who are blind navigate any environment along with a white cane. Here's a quote from her. The time lag for the development of new technology is getting shorter and shorter, Dr. Asakawa says. It's lifetime work because technology will continually evolve and we'll keep creating better and better solutions. And now the next article, AFB welcomes new director of research. Dr. L. Penny Rosenblum brings decades of experience to the organization. Teacher, researcher, author. These are just a few of the hats worn by L. Penny Rosenbaum, a PhD, who joined the AFB in early 2020 as our director of research. Although Dr. Rosenblum considers herself a teacher first in her role at AFB, her priority is to connect research and policy to address the barriers to creating a world of no limits for people who are blind or low vision. Here's a quote. If we don't have research that really helps us understand what the challenges and solutions, or even potential solutions, are, then we don't know what policies to advocate for with programs and support, says Dr. Rosenblum, who has low vision. She continues by saying, that's why I want to connect with people at AFB and with outside partners to design high-quality research that will answer those questions. One example of this kind of work is an initiative AFB was already well on its way with under the leadership of AFB's Paola Shane Mora, a PhD who is a policy research specialist, and Bonnie O'Day, who is a PhD and a former intern research director of the Visually Impaired Seniors Independent Travel Opportunities and Resources. This is abbreviated VISITOR. Those letters stand for Visually Impaired Seniors Independent Travel Opportunities and Resources. Funded by the Volkswagen Group of America's Mobility as a Service team, the project recently completed Phase 2, which identified current promising practices, challenges, and solutions specific to transportation for seniors with vision loss. Dr. Rosenblum's work over the last few decades has included extensive research in this area. In the early 2000s, she collaborated with Anne L. Korn, who was a doctor of education, on research projects related to transportation experiences of both older adults and teens. She and Dr. Korn also co-authored a book on transportation solutions for educators working with teens and young adults. The title is Finding Wheels: Strategies to Build Independent Travel Skills for Those with Visual Impairments. An updated version of this book will be available later this year from the Texas School for the Blind and Visually Impaired. Prior to joining AFB, Dr. Rosenblum was a research professor in the Department of Disability and Psychoeducational Studies at the University of Arizona, where she had worked since 1999. While there, she was deeply involved in numerous research projects focused on education of students with visual impairments. Leading the AFB research team, she'll oversee projects in a variety of areas such as the Cabell Huntington Hospital Study. Dr. Rosenblum also conducted pre-surveys and interviews when AFB kicked off the Blind Leaders Development Program in March. In April, she led two national surveys focused on the impact of COVID-19. One study examined how the pandemic is affecting adults in areas including transportation, healthcare, employment, social isolation, and education. The second study looked at how the education of children with visual impairments was affected by COVID-19. These projects demonstrate how her work will encompass all of AFB's priority areas. Here's a quote from her. "It's really important that we conduct research that will help us gain a broad understanding of the various sets of people with vision loss," she says. "I am very committed to AFB's strategic plan to use research as part of creating meaningful policy and social change that ensures that everybody has what they need to be successful." The next article, a part of the newsletter, is titled AFB Prepares to Launch Helen Keller Archive Lesson Plans. The project provides educators with an inclusive teaching tool. Thanks to funding from the National Endowment for the Humanities, the AFB pioneered one of the most accessible digital collections in the world, the Helen Keller Archive. The web address for this, by the way, if you want to get a pencil out, I'll give it to you now and also later. The web address for the Helen Keller Archive is www.afb.org/Helen Keller Archive, written as all one word. This archive, the Helen Keller Archive, brings Helen Keller's story and disability history to a global audience. And now the AFB has gone one step further. Using the digital archive, the AFB has created fully accessible online lessons focused on Keller's life, her role in American history, and the use, function, and value of digital archives. The goals of the project include modeling best practices in digital accessibility, making education more inclusive, and teaching principles of research to middle and high school students. For Helen Selsden, AFB archivist, turning the digital archive into an educational tool has been a long-held dream and something educators have been asking for. Here's a quote from Helen Selsden. "I think it's important for kids to learn about diversity, disability history," she says. "I couldn't see a better way to do it than with the Helen Keller Archive." Helen Keller's boots-on-the-ground work resulted in legislation that benefited the blind community and paved the way for a more inclusive society for all people with disabilities. Selsden, this is Helen Selsden, who's the AFB archivist. Selsden wants students to know about this work and for students with disabilities to see themselves in history. Here's a quote from her. "We also want them to have a real understanding of how Helen Keller, a deaf, blind writer and activist, was incredibly engaged in the world and in social issues." Now more than ever, these fully accessible online lessons are beneficial. As schools across the country have closed their doors due to COVID-19, teachers are transitioning to online learning programs. There has been an increased demand for educational resources, and AFB is uniquely positioned to ensure that students who are blind or have low vision are included in this outreach. AFB decided to soft launch its free lesson plans this spring to meet educators' needs. The lesson plans leverage the talents of a team that includes AFB staff, curricular writers, historians, and digitization experts. Here's a quote, "We want all students to be able to explore primary sources and do their own independent research," says Elizabeth Neal, who is the AFB's Director of Communications. And she continues, "This opens up employment opportunities too. With fully accessible research tools, children who are blind or have low vision can more easily become historians, archivists, and scholars." Three lesson plans have been completed to date, including one on Helen Keller's and women's fight for the right to vote. AFB has been testing the lesson plans with a goal of officially launching on August 18, 2020, which is or was the 100th anniversary of the 19th Amendment. That particular lesson plan was made possible by funding from Humanities New York. When the lesson plans launch, they'll be available on the Helen Keller Archive website. Please check them out and send us your feedback. We encourage thoughts and ideas on how to improve men. And by the way, they were indeed released on August 18th. I looked over the first lesson plan, and I was very, very impressed. They were thorough. They were easy to understand, and they were so complete. Now, once again, to access these, you would go to the website afb.org/Helen Keller Archive. The next question is asked, what does the world look like to you? This is actually a series of interviews asking people who are blind or visually impaired to share their real-world experiences. The first one you're going to hear about starts right now. To many, Dave Steele, S-T-E-E-L-E, Dave Steele, is known as the blind poet. He is perhaps best recognized for his song called Stand By Me, R.P., for which he modified lyrics to the original song by Ben E. King. He also has a popular Facebook group of the same name. Steele is an award-winning poet with 3 published volumes, and he's writing a series of books about and for children who are visually impaired. A public speaker, singer, and advocate for the blind, Dave Steele was slated to MC the 2020 Helen Keller Achievement Awards ceremony before we had to cancel it. The first interview question says, when did you first experience vision loss? Dave Steele answers, I was diagnosed with retinitis pigmentosa, or RP, in 2014 at the age of 38. My sister had been diagnosed years before, and it is hereditary, so I knew there was a chance I'd develop it. RP turned my whole world upside down. I lost my job. My now wife, Amy, and I lost our house, and we had trouble feeding our family. So the next question that's asked in this interview is, what surprises people about your life? He answers that I am actually happier and more creative now than I was before I lost my vision. I went through a period of anxiety and depression, which I still sometimes experience, but through groups online and at home, I found the support I needed. After performing the song Stand By Me, RP at a meeting, so many people told me how much they related to it, and I knew I'd found my purpose, which was the biggest thing my vision loss took from me, my purpose. I started writing music and poetry with a sense of purpose I had never felt before, because I knew I could help people. This is Dave Steele, the blind poet. The next question for him asks, have you ever been in a situation where people tried to put limits on your aspirations because of your visual impairment? How did you have to advocate for yourself? He answered, when I was first losing my sight, I applied for a lot of jobs. I was perfectly capable of doing them, and I didn't get any of them. But now I realize I have found the lane I am supposed to be in. I had a lot of bad luck before I lost my sight, but all that has changed. My wife Amy said it best, I try to be there for people in the way I wanted somebody to be there for me when I needed it most. The next question for him, what do you wish more people understood about what it means to be blind or visually impaired? He says, we don't always look blind. Sometimes when I'm out with my guide dog and cane, people ask if I'm training the dog. Another time, a bunch of kids actually yelled, he's faking it. These are kinds of misconceptions that drive people with vision loss to isolate themselves. Then the final question for him, what advice would you give to people who are blind or visually impaired about living with no limits? He says, my answer is the start of one of my poems. Don't worry about tomorrow, for sight you're yet to lose. Don't waste the opportunity to live the life you choose. Though there are limitations and challenges each day, you'll overcome each obstacle, each thing put in your way. This is from Dave Steele, also called the Blind Poet. He has his own website. You can find it at www.theblindpoet.net. The next interview comes from the spring issue of Focus on AFB, the quarterly newsletter. They are continuing to ask the question, "What does the world look like to you?" This time, the person that's interviewed is Stephanie K. Jones. She is the Director of Sales and Marketing for Menus for All. This is written all as one word, menus, M-E-N-U-S, the number 4, followed by the word all in all caps, Menus for All. This is a website launched in October of 2019. It provides accessible restaurant menus for people who are blind or visually impaired. Menus for All has 50,000 restaurants and counting using their service, which provides menus that meet or exceed current web accessibility standards, including low vision friendly graphics so that users can take advantage of the screen reader capabilities on their Android and Apple devices, or they can use their own refreshable Braille devices to read the menus in Braille. Stephanie, this is Stephanie K. Jones. Stephanie also teaches blind and visually impaired adults and is the mother of 5 children. The next question, when did you first experience vision loss? She answered, I have a condition called pseudotumor cerebri that was treated using a shunt, which decreased the pressure in the brain caused by the condition. The shunt malfunctioned 13 years ago, and unfortunately it was misdiagnosed, which caused me to lose my vision. So the next question she's asked is, what surprises people about your life? And she answers, people ask if I pray for my sight to come back, but I don't. Sometimes this journey has been hard, but I've never been so blessed. I didn't come home from the hospital in a box. I have a life that's worth living, and I live it to the fullest. I get to work with other people with vision loss and help them realize all the things they can do by themselves. I have a fulfilling job and a wonderful family. I'm active at my children's school, and I sing in a choir, and I'm in a band. So the next question for Stephanie K. Jones, have you ever been in a situation where people tried to put limits on your aspirations because of your visual impairment? How did you advocate for yourself? She answered, unfortunately, it happens a lot. I was recently touring a facility, and the security guard was trying to show me where to go and asked why I didn't go where he was pointing, even though I was using my white cane. I was so taken aback that even then I had to explain that I'm blind. So in a way, every time we interact with others, we are advocating for ourselves and others with vision loss. And for me, part of that is making sure that people see Stephanie, me, and not just the fact that I am blind. That isn't the sum of who I am. The next question for her says, what do you wish more people understood about what it means to be blind or visually impaired? She answered, that I have plenty of abilities, just like any person who is visually impaired. For example, when I need to go to the grocery store for my kids, I don't wait for somebody to take me, I just go. And then I love to cook for them. We all have different abilities. Wouldn't the world be boring if we were all the same? Another question for her, what advice would you give people who are blind or visually impaired about living with no limits? She says, everyone's time on earth is limited, so do what you want with it. Enjoy it. Don't put limits on yourself or let anyone else limit you. There is so much more technology today than there was when I first lost my vision, which I think is allowing people like me to fit more easily into society and do all the things we love, like going to a restaurant and being able to have a current menu that we can read using whatever technology we want. Do the things that make you happy. And once again, this is an interview by Stephanie K. Jones, whose website you can access at www.menusforall.com. Now there's another interview. This one comes from the winter 2020 issue of Focus on AFB. The series is titled, What Does the World Look Like to You? We continue our series asking people who are blind or visually impaired to share their real-world experiences. Well, Melody Goodspeed is the AFB's major gift specialist. Before starting her career here as the manager of the executive office, Melody had a variety of experiences, including teaching grade school children with special emotional and learning needs. After losing her vision, she moved into contract management, but didn't find that fulfilling. She went on to work at the National Industries for the Blind, the NIB, which led her to meeting the AFB president and CEO, Kirk Adams, and then into joining our organization. The question, when did you first experience vision loss? She answered, in 2003, when I was 26 years old, I woke up one morning with pinhole vision. I rushed to the doctor and learned I had an undiagnosed blood clot in my brain, which put pressure on my optic nerve. Despite emergency surgery to relieve the pressure, it was too late. I lost all my vision, even light perception. The next question, what surprises people about your life? She answered, there are many facets of my life that surprise people, like the fact that I have two children and that I'm married to someone without a disability. Or that I have a full-time job and a side business selling jewelry. People don't even have a concept of how I use a phone or how I can pour hot water into a teacup, and they don't understand why I have such a passion for life despite being blind. The next question for her, this is Melody Goodspeed, have you ever been in a situation where people tried to put limits on your aspirations? How did you advocate for yourself? She answered, as a person who is blind, you are constantly advocating for yourself. You are constantly finding workarounds. I think we're very creative and innovative because we're always looking at things in different ways to get around or do things. I've had 5 employers since I lost my sight, and it did not come from me just walking in. I had to explain adaptive technology and really advocate for that. Except, of course, when I worked at NIB and here at AFB. The next question for her, what do you wish more people understood about what it means to be blind or visually impaired? She says, when I got my first guide dog, a wonderful man in his late 70s said to me, do you know what it means to be blind? I said, yes. But he said, I don't think you do. The only thing it means is that you can't see very well. So I wish people understood that. I wish more people would sit down with me and ask me questions so they understood that. I also wish they knew that if I need some help, I will ask. Otherwise, unless I'm about to walk into a wall, please know that I'm capable of doing anything. Well, now in summarizing today's program, as you realize, it was all about the AFB, the American Foundation for the Blind, and how they go about creating a world of no limits for people who are blind or visually impaired. To end the program today, I have a quote for you to think about. I wouldn't be so strong if I hadn't failed before. This is a quote from Dave Steele, the blind poet. You learned about him in the interview I read just a few minutes ago. His website is www.theblindpoet.net. Thank you for listening, and I hope you have a great week.